Welcome back to our study of Genesis. We are in chapter 29, and we're picking up with verse 24 of chapter 29 of Genesis. And so, if you'll remember what we've read about the fact that Jacob had asked Laban for Rachel to be his wife, and he was given Leah unbeknownst to him. So now let's look at 24. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, her handmaid.
So, and it's literally what it says. He gave a slave. In other words, he had slaves. That was just a common thing. And it still is in some cultures. You know, when an army would go in and defeat a city or whatever, then they would capture the people of the city. If they didn't kill them, they made slaves out of them. And so they would divvy them out, so to speak, to, whether they sold them or whatever, to whomever. Well, Laban had slaves. And so he gives one of these to Leah. And it's obviously the slave's name Zilpah.
Verse 25, and it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this that you have done unto me? Did I not serve you for Rachel? Wherefore then hast you beguiled me?
So how in the world could that happen? Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't have modern-day electricity. They had festivals and all for the feast and all for the wedding reception, if you will. But Leah goes to the tent first. So Jacob, thinking that Rachel is in the tent, that's dark, no light. And then when he gets up the next morning and the sun's up, then this is the wrong woman. This is not what I agreed for. And so he confronts Laban over him giving him Leah instead of Rachel. And he just says, basically you betrayed me. We had an agreement. I worked 7 years, I get Rachel. I worked 7 years, and that's not Rachel.
26 through 28. And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give you also for the service which you have served with me yet another 7 years. And Jacob did so, and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel his daughter to wife also.
Well, Laban's excuse... whether it was the culture, but he just says it was the custom in that particular culture that you didn't give the younger before you gave the older. In other words, the older girl had to get married first. And so he says, all right, that's the reason I did it. Now I'll tell you what I'll do. You fulfill her week. You fulfill this marriage week with Leah. Then I'll give you Rachel for another 7 years. Okay? And so Jacob agrees to do that thing. And so he ends up serving Laban 14 years, and he's married to sisters. Okay? Do you understand the law was not in existence? Abraham was married to his half-sister. The law was not into existence. Okay? And so he's not violating law because there's no law there. Where there's no law, there's no transgression. Okay?
And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid.
And so he gave Leah Zilpah, and now he gives Bilhah to Rachel as a slave to her. what you have to understand is these women own these women. That's their property. And so where these women go, those slaves are going because they are owned by them. And maybe that'll help you understand some things a little later on here.
And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet another 7 years.
And so he's fulfilled Leah's week, and he is given Rachel, so he has sexual relations with Rachel. So now he has two wives.
And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren.
So the Lord's looking at this thing, and he sees that Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. And so he opens Leah's womb, as it said. In other words, now Leah can have children, but Rachel can't have children. Interesting. Okay. Now, our reason for this, this is the only rationale we have, is because Jacob was not right by Leah in that it says he hated her. I don't think we would use that word today, per se. He loved Leah a lot less than he did Rachel. It's not like he didn't like Leah, not like he didn't want anything to do with Leah. If you hate somebody, you don't want anything to do with them. It's not that case. He loved Rachel much more than he loved Leah. And so there's a partiality, there's a favoritism here. Okay.
And Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, "Surely the Lord has looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me."
And so Leah becomes pregnant, and she gives birth to Jacob's first son, first child. His name is Reuben, which simply means, "Behold a son." So she has a son, and she believed that the Lord had given this son because he had seen her unhappiness, and she said that, "Surely my husband will love me now." You understand, having children in that culture, in that age, was extremely, extremely important. They didn't practice birth control. They wanted to get pregnant immediately because they want that name, that family name, to go on. Not like it is today.
And she conceived again and bare a son and said, "Because the Lord has heard that I was hated, he has therefore given me this son also." And she called his name Simeon.
So she has a second son, and the name Simeon means God hears, and she said, "It's because the Lord has heard that I'm not loved, and so he's given me this son also." But Leah has in her mind that if she can produce enough sons to Jacob, that she's going to win him over, okay?
And she conceived again and bare a son and said, "Now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him three sons." Therefore was his name called Levi.
And so Levi means joined. And so she said, "Now my husband will be joined or united with me, because I've given him three sons."
And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, "Now will I praise the Lord." Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing.
So Leah becomes pregnant again, and she gives birth to Judah, and that name means praise. And she says, "Now I will praise the Lord," after the birth of Judah, and then she stops having children. Note, when she has Judah, she's not complaining about her lot in life of not being loved. She says, "I'll praise the Lord now." So this is four sons. Okay, just keep these things in mind.
Chapter 30. This documents Rachel's complaint about her barrenness, Jacob's anger, Rachel's giving of Bilhah to Jacob as a wife, the births of Dan and Naphtali, Leah's giving of Zilpah to Jacob as a wife, the births of Gad and Asher, Rachel's barter with Leah for her mandrakes, the births of Issachar, Zebulun, and Dinah, and the birth of Joseph, and Jacob's agreement to continue working for Laban. All right, let's look at verses 1 and 2. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, "Give me children, or else I die." And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, "And I am God's stead, who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb."
So we see that Rachel's is barren at this point in her life, and she's jealous of her sister because her sister's already given birth to four sons. And so she approaches Jacob and says, "You give me children." And he became furious. I'm not God. It's not me that's withholding. I'm not the one that stopped you from getting pregnant. I'm not the problem. Well, obviously he's not, because he already had four sons, okay?
And she said, "Behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her." And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife. And Jacob went in unto her, and Bilhah conceived and bore Jacob a son.
So, you understand, Bilhah is Rachel's property. She's her slave. And so she gives Bilhah to Jacob. Now, Bilhah has a mandate. Rachel is saying, "Bilhah, you get pregnant and the baby's mine." You understand? She owns the mama, she owns the baby. And so she gives Bilhah to Jacob, and they have sexual relations, and Bilhah becomes pregnant. And she gives birth to a son. Now, note that it's Rachel that names the child Dan, mm-hmm. which means judge.
Verse 7. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, "With great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed." And she called his name Naphtali.
Now here again, Bilhah has sexual relations with Jacob. She gets pregnant again, and she gives birth to the son. Note, Rachel named the son Naphtali, which just simply means that by wrestling. I've struggled with my sister. I won. That's why in the law he said don't marry sisters. That would be one of the reasons, right? Okay.
Yeah. When Leah saw that she had left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her to Jacob to wife, and Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, "A troop comes," and she called his name Gad.
I want you to note the competition here between these two sisters. Leah's had four children. Rachel's had none. Rachel gives her slave girl, Bilhah, to Jacob, and Bilhah has two. Now, this is six sons that Jacob has, okay? Well, Leah sees what's going on. She's not going to be outdone, so she gives Zilpah to Jacob, because Zilpah's her property, her slave girl, and she is given to Jacob for the sole purpose of getting pregnant and bearing children. And so Zilpah gets pregnant, And she gives birth to this son named Gad. And it just means good fortune or a troop. And so when he was born, I believe this means troop from Leah's perspective, because she said a troop is coming. Okay?
And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bore Jacob a second son. And Leah said, "Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed." And she called his name Asher.
So Zilpah becomes pregnant again, and then Leah names this baby Asher, which means happy. And after his birth, Leah said, "I am happy because the daughters will call me blessed." Why? She gave birth to four children. She has two children. She has six children right here. That's her property. Okay?
And Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Give me, I pray you, of your son's mandrakes." And she said unto her, "Is it a small matter that you have taken my husband? And would you take away my son's mandrakes also?" And Rachel said, "Therefore he shall lie with you tonight for your son's mandrakes."
So, Reuben, remember, he's the oldest son. He goes out and he finds mandrakes and he brings them home to his mother, Leah. And mandrakes are a plant with greenish yellow flowers that was believed to have magical powers because its root resembles the human body. And so when Rachel sees these mandrakes that Reuben brought to Leah, she wants these mandrakes. And so she said, Leah said, do you think it's a light thing? Did you take up my husband and now you want to take my son's mandrakes? Then Rachel bargained with her. Now listen to this. And she said, "All right, if you'll give me the mandrakes, you can have sexual relations with Jacob tonight." And Leah accepted her offer. Almost sounds like some soap opera or something, doesn't it? And Heather said something. She said, I can't imagine this. Well, obviously you can't imagine that from a Western culture. It sounds unheard of from a Western culture. But when you're in the Eastern culture and you in that particular time and the customs, it's not as far out as you think it is. Remember Hagar? She was a slave girl. She was the property of Sarah. Right? That Sarah gave to Abraham so Sarah could have the son. And so that's what's going on here. Now here again, you see this contention between these sisters, this competition. And so, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll bargain with you. I'll give Jacob up tonight. You can have sexual relations with him. Just give me the mandrakes. Leah says, okay.
Jacob doesn't seem to be bothered by any of this.
No, Jacob's going along with all this.
Verse 16. And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, "You must come in unto me, for surely I have hired you with my son's mandrakes." And he lay with her that night.
And I want you to listen to how this is conveyed to him. Leah meets him when he comes in from the field. She said, "Tonight, you're going to have sexual relations with me because I've hired you." That's what you do with prostitutes, right?
Mm.
He says, "I've hired you with my son's mandrakes." And so Jacob didn't argue with her. He listened to her and they had sexual relations with her that night. Okay?
And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. And Leah said, "God has given me my hire because I have given my maiden to my husband." and she called his name Issachar.
Now, look at this. She goes into Jacob. She has her fifth son.
Yeah.
Her biological son, you understand? And she names him Issachar. It's interesting because it means har, or the reward for har. I hired you tonight. So just think about that. The rest of your life, you're going around and your name is Har. This was the reward. I'm the reward for the hire, okay?
Man. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, God has endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons. And she called his name Zebulun.
And so Leah becomes pregnant again, and this is her sixth son that came out of her womb. And she names him Zebulun, which means dwelling. And so after his birth, Leah says, God's given me a good gift, and now my husband will live with me because I have borne six sons for him.
And afterwards, she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah.
And so she becomes pregnant again and has a girl, Dinah. And you'll read more about Dinah later on. And Dinah means one who judges, which is interesting. Now we've laid this out. And I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm not trying to be funny or anything like that. How many tribes of Israel are there? There are 12 tribes of Israel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Six of those 12 tribes were sons of Leah. Two by Zilpah, two by Bilhah, and then you'll find later on, Rachel has two. That makes up the 12 tribes of Israel. And so the nation of Israel is the result of four women, not one woman. And Leah being the dominant one. You're with me as far as giving birth to more children, okay?
And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bore him a son, and bore a son, and said, God has taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, and said, the Lord shall add to me another son.
So evidently Rachel had been talking to God about becoming pregnant, and probably Jacob had too. And so it says God remembered her. In other words, he's remembered her prayers. He honors her request. He opens her womb. And she becomes pregnant and gives birth to a son. She names his son Joseph. And that means may God add. And so after the birth of Joseph, Rachel said, the Lord's taken away my reproach, and he'll add another son to me. So right now, at this point in time, Jacob has 11 sons and one daughter. Okay?
Verse 25. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go into my own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go. For you know my service which I have done for you. And Laban said to him, I pray you, if I have found favor in your eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake.
So after the birth of Joseph, Jacob goes and talks to Laban, and he requests, he just says, allow me to return to my family and native country. Let me take my wives for whom I've served and their children. And he said, you're aware of the work I've done for you. And Laban says, if I have found favor with you, please stay with me. Now look at this, because I've learned through divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. And so Laban is very much aware. Remember, Jacob's keeping his flocks? And Laban is becoming more and more prosperous because of Jacob. And so Laban's saying, don't leave. I've learned that the reason I'm blessed, the reason I'm prospering is because of you. So he does recognize that, okay?
And he said, appoint me my wages and I will give it.
So, Laban said to Jacob, all right, what's name the wages? And then he said, I'll give them to you.
And he said to him, you know that I have served you and how your cattle was with me. For it was little which you had before I came, and now it's increased into a multitude, and the Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now when shall I provide for my own house also?
So Jacob's reminded Laban, you know, I've served you and I've kept your livestock. And he said, your herd was small when I came to you, but now it's grown into a multitude, and the Lord has blessed you since I arrived. I mean, Jacob's not bashful about it. Abraham's blessings on Jacob, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, now it's time for me to provide for my own house, for my household.
And he said, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flock. I will pass through all your flock today, removing from them all the speckled and spotted cattle and all the brown cattle among the sheep and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire.
And so Laban says to Jacob, what do you want from me? And Jacob says, I don't want you to give me anything. Just do this for me and I'll continue caring for your flocks. You go through your flocks, you remove from them all the speckled and spotted sheep, the black sheep, and all the spotted and speckled goats. And now in the future, all the speckled and spotted sheep, all the black sheep, and all the spotted and speckled goats that are born to the flocks will be given to me as my wages. My uprightness will speak for me in the future when spotted when my wages are questioned, every animal that's not speckled and spotted among the goats or black among the sheep, you can consider it as stolen. Now, I want you to understand what he's saying. Animals reproduce after their own kind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Take all the speckled, all the spotted, all the black sheep, get them all out, and you take them and separate, and I'll continue watching over your other flocks. And then all the speckled and spotted that they give birth to, they'll be mine. Laban can't believe what he's hearing. Go ahead.
And Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to your word.
I'll be glad to do that. That's basically what he's saying. This guy's crazy. Yeah, I'll take you up on that, Jacob.
Verse 35, and he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-streaked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks.
So Laban agrees, and so they separate the flocks, and they don't just separate them, but they make sure that they're a long distance away, and so they travel 3 days' journey. And then Jacob's left there keeping the remainder of the flocks, no spotted, no speckled, no black sheep. They've all been removed.
Verse 37. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar, and of the hazel and chestnut tree, and peeled white streaks in them, and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks, in the gutters in the watering troughs, when the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods and brought forth cattle, ring-streaked, speckled, and spotted.
There's a profound principle embedded in these scriptures. Jacob takes some rods of some type of white wood, possibly poplar, nut tree, probably almond, and places these trees or these rods and peels them so that the white that was in the rods was visible. You understand what he's doing? He's just peeling it to where they see the white in the rod. Then he placed the rods that he had peeled in front of the watering troughs. And so when the animals came to drink, they also mated. And those that conceived before the rods gave birth to livestock that were ring-streaked, which means striped, and speckled, and spotted. And so they were producing what they were seeing. So do you. What's before your eyes? What you put before your eyes is extremely important, because that's what you'll ultimately end up producing. What you focus on will grow. And so these animals, they're seeing these peeled rods. And so what happens? They come striped and spotted. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Vision. Vision's going to affect your production.
And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring-streaked and all the brown in the flocks of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves and put them not unto Laban's cattle.
Now, look at this also. So when these animals are old enough to take away from the mother and all these animals are old enough, he takes these and separates them into a separate flock. Then he made the other flocks face the striped and black flocks that he had separated from Laban's flock. What is it? He's putting a vision before them. He didn't mingle his flock with Laban's flock, but he had Laban's flock looking at stripes and spots. And so that's what these animals start producing.
Verse 41. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's.
So Jacob, pretty wise here. When the strong animals get ready to mate, Jacob places these peeled rods before the water trough. But when the weak animals were mating, he didn't place the rods there. And so what he's doing is producing strong animals for himself.
Verse 43, and the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle, and maidservants, and men servants, and camels, and asses.
So the feeble animals born to the flock were Laban's. The stronger animals born became Jacob's.
Sorry, I read verse 43 too.
Excuse me?
I skipped a verse. I read 43.
Where are you? Okay. So Jacob's flocks greatly increased. He had an abundance of sheep, goats, camels, donkeys. He also had male and female servants. You understand that providing for himself, now he's got revenue coming in. Okay? This is a source of income. You can sell these animals, whatever. And so now he's able to get all these other animals. When you're talking camels and donkeys, we're talking something totally different here. So God is keeping his word to Jacob. Now, the principle, again, I want to reiterate, is vision affects fruit. Vision affects fruit. What we set before our eyes will affect the outcome of our conception and our fruit. And that's why it's extremely important that you don't set wicked things before your eyes. You keep the things of God before you. And so you'll produce the fruit of God, the fruit of the Spirit, this type of thing. You with me? Pretty incredible when you think about this. And it was a God thing. It was God's means of giving Jacob that idea. And so God could fulfill his covenant by blessing Jacob, carrying that blessing of Abraham. Amen. I think our time's up. So
okay. We
did finish the chapter. We'll pick back up next year.
Next year.
This is the last class of the year. Think about that. Can you remember that for us?
Yes, sir.
Write it down. Huh? Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us. And you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. You believe those words? That's called the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
What was the blessing? Words.
Mm-hmm.
The blessing came to pass because the people believed the blessing. I have seen this come to pass in this college since we've been speaking that blessing that God told us to do in the first place. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Not only here, but also in the church also. Heather will be giving you some stats at the Christmas celebration Thursday. And if it's where you can, please come, okay? And it's amazing what God's doing. It's amazing. So, we plan to see you Thursday at